This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light Seltzer, for those anytime easy drinking occasions.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball game is on the way back. A College World Series title. The Bomb Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Sauce after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast.
You know, we've been having some good discussion this morning about Arkansas and their loss last night to Mississippi State on the road. And, you know, just looking at it from the social media reaction and everything, people just get frustrated. You always do after a loss. And, you know, Eric Musselman after the loss, too, was equally as frustrated. In fact, he was frustrated, but he also could tell you why they lost. Here's what he had to say.
I mean, I thought we played pretty solid defense the whole game. You know, we know we're not a good rebounding team, but we were close enough to win the game. That's a really, really talented team. Really talented. And long. We have to play near flawless basketball to beat a team like that. We did not. We had some guys foul 40 feet from the basket. Just foul a guy when they're in the bonus. We need guys to make shots, too. And that wasn't the case tonight.
I mean, it was pretty simple. Like, they just did not play well enough. They made some bad mistakes. They made some bad decisions. Fouling in those situations was bad. Not making your shots, especially when you had great looks at the basket, was not ideal. I mean, this was just a bad game. It was a bad game all around. And it's just frustrating that you did it on the road, and now you have back-to-back losses in conference play. So, you know, Eric Musselman doesn't like losing, and this team doesn't like losing, but that's not the way you were hoping they would respond after Kentucky.
No, and you knew with Reggie Perry it was going to be a challenge just to deal with his size and his range, and I thought Ben Howland had a great plan, great game plan. Feed the stud, man. Just keep giving him the ball. They did, and he had 13 looks at the basket. He made 6 of those, went to the free throw line 15 times. He was fouled 9 times in the game. Some of that was just a response that Arkansas didn't double down on him early. They did late. In fact, triple teamed him at times. And, you know, Reggie Perry was just more than they can handle. He was a man amongst boys last night.
Yeah. Well, here's something I was fearful of, too. And I'm not saying a lot of people are like this, but like Ty in Huntsville just texted into the show and says the must magic is finally running out. Are you kidding me? Are you serious? After back-to-back losses, close losses, one of them being to Kentucky, and the other one just being at a place that you don't win very often, now you're going to start saying the must magic is starting to run out? Get out of here. Listen, this is something that happens to all college basketball teams, especially when you go into conference play, is you're going to have these slumps. But it's not about how you are playing right now. It's about how you finish this season. You still have a lot of games left in conference play. You're 3-3. You got 12 games left in conference play. You also have the TCU game coming up this Saturday. You have the conference tournament. You have so many more opportunities to right the ship. It's not about how you're playing right now. It's about how you finish. And honestly, if you are going to have a slump, if you are going to struggle as a basketball team, now is the time to be struggling. Because the last thing you want to do is do really well and then fold up like a cheap suit at the end of the season. That's when you want to be playing your best basketball. But Tommy, you've been watching basketball a long time. I know I have as well. Every team hits a point where they just go into a little bit of a rut. But it's about how they respond and how they climb themselves back out and how they finish the season. That's going to be the pivotal point. I just refuse to believe that these past two games are going to be indicative of what the rest of the season is going to hold.
No, and you're not going to be playing Reggie Perry every night.
No,
you've played two of the better teams with big men in the league the last two games.
Yep,
and it's just a matchup. It's a tough schedule stretch for Arkansas.
Yeah,
now I'm just looking at the shot chart from last night. Forget points in the paint. I mean, those were important. Arkansas scored well in the paint. I mean, surprisingly well, 46 points in the paint last night. But if I say 7 shots, not just in the paint missed, 8 counting a tip in, they missed 8 shots inside the restricted area arc.
Nope, can't do that.
Now, they made their fair share of those, but you can't miss 10-plus shots in the paint and 8 in point-blank range. Would you call that point-blank range inside the arc down low?
I would reckon.
Yeah, I'd say so. According to what I'm looking at in Mississippi State's stat book, they missed 8 of those.
There's no excuse for that.
And one and another just outside of that.
There's no excuse for that.
I mean, Arkansas got their points in the paint, but, okay, you make 4 more of those baskets, 4 more of those tip-ins down low. How many did you lose by?
7.
Each of those count for 2. There's your 8 points right there.
Yeah.
That's what was frustrating me watching the game is, and these weren't looks like they were getting fouled. These were putbacks where they got an offensive board or just a good look underneath. And they were too far under the basket, got rushed, got worried about Perry blocking their shot, something, and they missed these shots.
Yeah. Yeah, they were out of their rhythm. I mean, they had good looks.
Yeah.
It wasn't like that the Mississippi State was just crashing in on them where they had no response and they couldn't even get a shot off. I mean, it was simply that they just couldn't find their open looks and hit them. That was the key. But, you know, we had a text from the 870 saying, after last night's game, do you think Jalen Williams and Connor Vanover have enough size to bang down low in the SEC? And I was thinking that. I was like, well, if you have those two guys and both of them are, well, how tall is Jalen Williams? About 6'10"?
6'10" for Jalen Williams.
Yeah, so having two guys that are of that size, of course it's going to help.
Well, but even if you had a 6'10 young, it's going to help next year, but he's still going to be a freshman, you know. A freshman, you know, sometimes physically, and I think Williams is going to be a little more advanced physically, but Reggie Perry is just, he's next level. That's why he's an All-American.
He's hitting the weight room.
He,
I mean, I couldn't believe how big he had gotten. But, man, wouldn't it have been nice to have him?
Even Weatherspoon looked like, I mean, yeah, physically that team looked very developed.
I mean, wouldn't it be nice to have him on the team this year? Like
Perry?
Yeah. Like you should have, or at least you felt like you did.
Dude, if you had Reggie Perry, which one would you rather have, Reggie Perry or Daniel Gafford? You could choose. Okay, we're going to add one of these, one, not both, one of these two guys down low for you. It's not easy, is it?
I'd probably still go with Daniel Gafford just because of his way that he could move up and down the court.
His mobility was very good.
Yeah. But it's close. I'd take either one. How about that?
If you had either one, I think you're a Final Four contender this year where there's no one dominant team, two dominant teams in college basketball. Now, this is a year where it's pretty wide open.
Yeah.
There's, what, a dozen teams, 20, maybe more than that, that could make the Final Four this year and wouldn't be a surprise.
Yeah.
Dude, if you had a big man down low to balance this team out, you'd be amongst those teams. You'd be a top 15 team right now if you had a Reggie Perry or a Daniel Gafford on this roster.
Yep. Easily. And that's just the missing piece that you're hoping that you can find next year when you add some of these guys in.
Bearman comments and says he'd take Gafford because of defense and shot blocking.
All right. Yeah. I mean, I
think your deal gives Gafford the edge for me about being able to run the floor. But that's just the point. If you had a talent of that level on this team to go with what you have, I'm not saying you would make the Final Four. I'm just saying you're amongst the best
teams in consideration.
15 or so teams in the country that you'd probably say, hey, of these 15 teams, these will be the 4 that go to the Final Four in all likelihood. Mm-hmm. Arkansas would be in that group.
Yeah.
I think.
And I know it's frustrating to hear because it doesn't matter. It's all fantasy land. But I still think Arkansas might be even undefeated or at least only one loss if they have one of those guys right now.
I mean, and if you're undefeated right now, you've beaten LSU,
you're probably top 5.
Honestly, you're at least a top 10 team in the rankings, which rankings don't mean anything.
But. Right, but it's still nice to see your name with a number next to it, though.
Absolutely.
Let's just all be honest
about it.
Good
for recruiting.
That's right. You can always say that. Let's go to the phone lines, 877-377-6963. Champ is in Fort Smith. What's going on, Champ?
Hey, fellas. Champ is here. John, I don't know that guy's name that text into you or whatever talking about the bus. Magic is over. I just believe these people that make comments like this just don't know the game of basketball, just don't even watch the game. I feel like they go and read the articles or whatever. They don't actually watch it. The Mess magic is not gone. We're lucky we're at where we're at with the talent that we got. I mean, we got great talent, but Mess is doing a great thing. That's just an ignorant comment to me, but just want to throw my two cents in on that. And
the guy's name is Ty. I mean, so what do we expect?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there we go. Oh, yeah.
We're just picking on Ty Richardson.
You saw the fight with Kansas State. That's Ty Richardson. I mean, that's what money buys right there. You know what I mean? But anyway, I'm going to go back to the game last night. Isaiah Joe, the one thing I love Isaiah Joe, he's from my hometown, you know? But the footwork, I mean, if he gets his footwork, you know, they do more work with him on there, the guy's going to be even better. More aggressive going to the basket. Mason Jones, I feel like, you know, the first half, he took more shots. You know, what did he get, 19 points second half?
Talking about Mason Jones? Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if he would have took them shots and been more aggressive, I feel like he shares the ball a lot and tries to, you know, not take those shots. But, man, games like that, I feel like both of them just got to be shooting. And going to, you know, we did good in the paint. If we had the shots outside, too, I mean, it would have been a different ball game. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, that's about what I wanted to say, and I'll hang up on there, guys.
All right, appreciate it, champ.
Yeah, he had 18 in the
18, sorry. Yeah, I knew it was
18. 2 points at halftime. I didn't know. I just went back and looked at the halftime box score. Mason Jones had 2 points at halftime.
Well, here's the thing, though. Tommy, if I would have told you that before the game that Jimmy Witt and Mason Jones were going to have 20 points apiece,
yeah,
you'd feel good about it.
Yeah.
But the problem is nobody else brought it.
Like, has the big two turned into the big three on this team? Is Witt now amongst those three
as far as
scores?
I think so, because he's at least, I mean, he's shown that he is Kent.
Early in the year, it was all about Isaiah Joe and Mason Jones, and I think you got to add Witt to that conversation about scores. I mean, what do you have Saturday against Kentucky? He only had, what, five or something? But he's had 50 in two of the last three.
Yeah. I mean, I'd put him in there.
Yeah, I'm with you.
He's automatic, or at least close to automatic, from that little jumper that he does.
If, you know, and you need him because that means you can't double up or play zone and match up with two guys on Jones or Joe at a time. Because if you do, you trust Witt to make the shot. So they're going, you know, what you want to do is get into a situation where teams that are kind of in between on defense have to go man on you and they can't double up on these guys.
Yeah, that's what you're hoping for. But it's amazing to me that Jimmy Witt's able to score like he is as a guard without shooting threes. Like, that's, to me, is almost like a lost art. You don't see that very often. Not even like attempting threes. He's at one attempted three on the season. So the fact that he's found that element in his game.
It's not exactly the most pure-looking shot.
No.
Which one's worse, his or Ronnie Brewer's? Because Ronnie Brewer's had a little hitch in the giddy-up, too.
I think Jimmy Witt's, it looks more awkward. Because at least Ronnie's was his elbow was out.
Yeah.
That was it. Like, it still looked
just had a little hitch in the giddy-up.
Right. But, yeah. But, yeah, no, Jimmy's is, you know, his
doesn't matter if it, as long as it goes in, you know.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Listen,
Jim Furyk has an ugly golf swing. But it goes down the middle.
That's right. Know? I don't care how he does it. He could do it like underhand. If it goes it goes in.
Witt's free throws. And John Sundvold brought this up last night. Remember when he was at Arkansas the first time, he would bring it like above his head, behind his head, and it was like, it was really unorthodox.
Yeah.
And it's still slightly unorthodox, but it's better than it was when he first arrived at Arkansas.
Yeah. Now, that was frustrating to see. He had missed three free throws. He's shooting only about 65% on the season. So he's struggling from the free throw land. But the point is, though, is that you can't have games like Isaiah Joe had, especially from one of your best players on this team. Joe played 36 minutes in this game. He went 2 of 13. 2 of 13. Now, he had 7 rebounds, which is great to see for a guard. He had 3 assists. He had 1 steal. He turned the ball over 3 times. But 5 points? 5 points on the game? You just can't have that from Isaiah Joe. And his struggles have been real, but then you see guys that you see a little spark from, like Gentile Silla came in and scored 5 points. He had a three. You know, what are they expecting out of him? What about Jalen Harris? What about Reggie Chaney? Which Reggie Chaney, by the way, he's been playing a lot better over the past few games than he had for a while.
And getting more, since that technical foul that he had.
Things have changed for Reggie. Yeah. And he had 8 points last night, 17 minutes, got 2 rebounds, a block, a steal. Like, that's the type of stat line you want from Reggie Chaney, game in and game out.
Good role player.
Yeah. So he had a few players that did their job. Yeah. Even Adriel Bailey played fairly well, as much as you could against Reggie, because he was the one having to guard Reggie Perry the most time.
You were 4 of 20 from three-point range, and that's just not going to cut it on the road for Arkansas. Now, part of the reason you only took 20 is they were, I thought, just giving you the lane. Just saying, listen, we'll let you drive in here. We'll try to defend the basket down low. And Arkansas took advantage of the dribble penetration I thought Mississippi State was allowing. Took them off the three-point line. And, you know, when you're not making them, well, we'll at least go get two. Two's better than none.
That's right.
So, but Arkansas, to win these kind of games, they got to make 10 or more threes. They didn't.
Yeah. They didn't get anywhere close to that.
Oh. I mean, I'm just saying 20 attempts probably, honestly, isn't enough in a game like this.
I mean, so what's the attempts that you think they should do? 25 a game? Should they shoot 25 threes a game?
Yeah. The number I was going to say is 30.
30 threes a game.
Half their shots. But, I mean, they got to go in.
Yeah.
I mean, that part of your rebounding, you know, you want to solve some of your rebounding problem? Make shots.
Yeah.
It's that simple. There's no rebound if it goes in.
Yeah.
And I know that's but you stop and think about it.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about offensive rebounds if you're making shots.
Yeah. And there's got to be a caveat with that, too. They have to be quality threes. Can't just be jacking them from
some of this
logos all the time.
There's more film. There's more advanced scouting. Coaches, hey, this league's not filled with a bunch of idiots as head coaches.
Nope.
There was a time.
There was always a time
that
where
you could out-coach some people.
Yeah.
But you're not going to, and now with the money that's in the SEC, it's just like football. There's more advanced scouting. There's more film study. There's, you know, there's just better scouting reports. And Arkansas's benefited from that under Eric Musselman. There's been a lot of coverage about his detailed scouting reports. Everybody else has raised their game there too. So they know after watching more league film how to guard Isaiah Joe, how to guard Mason Jones. Mason Jones going to have to stay out of foul trouble, too.
Yep.
It's another issue.
Yep.
So, I just thought these last two games have been bad matchups for Arkansas.
They have.
Really bad matchups because the lack of size and the lack of height inside just was a real problem against Kentucky and Mississippi State.
Yep. And if they lose to TCU on Saturday, then we can start talking about some serious concerns when you lose three straight. But, you know, at this point, I agree with you. It's just about bad matchups. Let's go back to the phone lines. Ethan is in Mountain View. What's going on, Ethan?
Not much, guys. What's up?
Oh, just doing a radio show, man. What you got for us?
I agree with Tommy that these last two games have been horrible matchups for the Hogs. But it's exciting to see that next year we've got some size coming in and we've got some more talent coming in. It's exciting to see what Musk can do with those teams. Given that we lost by, what, 7 last night, we had a 21-point disparity at the free throw line difference.
Yep.
And I'm not grabbing at referees. Referees, man, I could not do that job. But we missed 5 free throws, and Isaiah Joe scores, how many did he score? 7 points? I mean.
Scored 5.
You're talking about the big threes. He scored 5 points. Okay. So if you make your free throws and Isaiah Joe hits a shot, then, I mean, you win the ball game, and we were outmatched horribly inside and rebounding.
Yeah.
I think the thing that I was most impressed about last night was before about halfway through the first half, when he made the adjustments and the cutting and the screening and the point in the paint I thought that was an awesome adjustment, and I haven't seen that from the Hogs a lot this year. It seems like we've really been relying on the three. So it was encouraging to see that there is more to this offense that they can do, and hopefully they can show that more going through the SEC.
Yeah, that's what everyone's hoping for. Like, this team is perfectly capable of getting to that point. Thanks for the call, Ethan. Like, they're perfectly capable of winning games like last night.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like that last night if Arkansas played Mississippi State 10 times, they'd lose 10 times. They're not that type of team. It's just in the game of basketball, especially with the type of team that Arkansas is, it's a game of runs. We've heard that whole adage before. It's a game of runs, and it's about you having either more runs or the clutch run at the end of the game. That's just how it is.
We've mentioned that every third show, it seems like.
That's right.
The game of basketball is likely going to have 3 to 4 runs. Can you win one more than the other team? And more importantly, the last one.
That's right. And to go on a run, what do you have to do? What are the two things you have to do? You have to hit your shots, and you have to play defense.
I mean, I'll add a third. They could maybe substitute for the second one. Force turnovers.
Yeah, because or that too, yeah.
And that's part of defense.
Right,
that's
right.
Part of defense.
It's under the umbrella.
It's under that umbrella, but you got to get more, you got to get more possessions in that stretch on your half court than the other team to get runs. So it's transition points. How do you really make a run go? Fast break, transition points, quick points in the paint. It's scoring fast.
Mm-hmm. Hitting threes.
Part of that's creating possessions by forcing steals and turnovers.
Mm-hmm. And also
block shots, those kind of things. And it falls under defense, right. But those are the things that have to happen defensively to make a run. That's the fuel for a run.
Mm-hmm. And also getting rebounds. Those are also helpful too. Like all those things come into play. And that's what Arkansas has done in a lot of these cases, in a lot of these games. Because Tommy, as we've talked about, Arkansas has been down 11 points in a lot of these games. That's kind of like the magic number, which has kind of lost its luster a little bit the past two games when you've been down 11 but still lost. But against Indiana on the road, they were down 11. You know, against George Tech on the road, they were down 11. They've been down 11 before. Against LSU, they were down 11 and almost came back and won. It's because it's about a game of runs. Arkansas is perfectly capable of making that final run. But playing defense, getting those turnovers, and also making your shots in those clutch moments, in those clutch situations, is what separates you right now from being the team that's sitting at 14-4 and being an undefeated team.
All right, so you're 3-3 in league play. TCU, obviously, non-conference game. Chance to win your 15th for Arkansas. On the season. So you got TCU, then a home game with South Carolina. That's not going to be easy either.
No. South Carolina's not great, but they're always going to be a well-coached team.
Yeah. Then at Alabama, then Auburn. Feels to me like through the Auburn game on February 4th, you've got to find a way to win three of those four.
Well, I would bet that Arkansas goes 3-1 in those games.
All right.
That's just me. Maybe I'm being a little too overly confident, but I don't know who the loss is going to be, whether it's against Auburn or against Alabama on the road, or even against TCU. I don't know. But you got to go 3-1 in that stretch to really get back on track in the right way.
Hey, do you have a noisy neighbor upstairs or someone next door to you in your apartment complex that they play their music way too loud, way too late? If you're looking to upgrade your apartment, looking for a new duplex, townhome, or you want the quietness of a single-family home, call our friends at Trinity Multifamily, whether it's Northwest Arkansas, the River Valley, Central Arkansas. They can help you find a new place to call home. 479-452-1817 or search for rental properties near you online at trinitymultifamily.com. Trinity Multifamily, your teammate in the real estate game.
877-377-6963 is the number to call or to text in here on The Morning Rush. We'll get to more of your phone calls, more of your text messages, more in Arkansas basketball coming up next.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light Seltzer, available in black cherry, strawberry, lemon lime, and mango.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas, 80 yards.
We've been talking about this Razorback basketball team from last night and their loss against Mississippi State, which it was frustrating to see, I know, for a lot of Razorback fans. But I want to switch gears a little bit because since we have Clay on, I'd like to get his thoughts and opinions on it. It's Clay. The Arkansas football right now, with the addition of Felipe Franks, which has now been made official, he is going to be a Razorback in 2020. The reactions have kind of been mixed. I would say overwhelmingly people are fairly happy about it, but I also feel people are also saying, okay, what does that mean, though? We added a quarterback, but is that going to take us from being a 2-4 win team to a 6-win team? I don't necessarily know. There's people that are still not totally sure what this means, but Clay, what you've been watching and what you know about Felipe Franks, what you know about Kendall Briles, and what you know about this current roster, what do you think it means for Arkansas in adding Felipe Franks for 2020?
Well, he's a guy that's that's played a lot of football in the SEC, a lot of football, and he's won games and won SEC games, and the team had to add quarterback. They lost. They've lost a lot of quarterbacks for whatever reasons, and you can go through each one of them. But there's guys that have come through the program that aren't there anymore. And Connor Nolan's playing baseball. Ty Story transferred out. Nick Starkle had another year of eligibility. He's transferred out. So you've got to you've got to build that room back up. And he's a guy with SEC experience, and I would argue he's going to start probably. He's got to outplay KJ Jefferson and Jack Lindsey, but you know then there may be another. They've got some quarterbacks coming in this weekend, some highly regarded, you know, some four stars. So that quarterback room has got to be replenished, and to be able to bring in a guy that has SEC experience is really a good start for Sam Pittman and for Kendall Briles. And you know, I think you said he's going to start, right? And I think he probably is going to start. There's things that can happen, but you get him in. He's not just coming. He's in class, guys. He's there. He's going through the off season program, and it's you know, he's there from the start with the new coaches, and it's an impressive get for them in recruiting. Let's face it, you had to recruit him. There were others that wanted him. He got hurt last year, and that's how he lost his position at Florida. So it's not like he got beat out or anything. He was their quarterback, and by the, you know, I guess a severe dislocation is how you would have to say it, of the ankle, and he's full speed now, and big time passer, 6'6", you know, 225, 230, big guy. He's the kind of passer that you're gonna look for, and they're going to throw the ball. So yeah, he's accurate when he's not under pressure. Like most, when they're under pressure, it slips a little bit. But he can play throw and catch, and that's what they need.
Yeah. So how does this? What do you think is going on in the mind between the ears of KJ Jefferson? And obviously, this has probably the most impact on him versus anyone else, because without a quarterback like Franks, you presume KJ Jefferson is the starter. So how do you think he's processing all this right now?
Well, it's first of all, he's trying to learn his new coaches, so there's that, and so you know that's a surprise to him that he's in a position that he's at. It's my understanding that he loves Arkansas and he's happy and all that. You know, it's. He came knowing there are other quarterbacks going to be at Arkansas. It's not like he thought he was definitely just going to be handed the job. He knows he's going to have to compete for it. You know, there's two ways he can look at it. He can be unhappy that his time is going to be pushed down the road another year, or unhappy that's going on, or happy that he's going to get to learn from an experienced SEC quarterback. You know, I'm going to say it's probably mixed. That's where he's at right now. Okay, I understand that, and I understand that. And there's some good and there's some bad. It's on Kendall Briles and Sam Pittman to make sure that they take good care of him mentally, and you know, get him moving forward and understand that. He's going to be able to compete for the job, and he is. And it may be that he wins the job. He's got some special talents now, guys. But his deal when he came to school, it was that he was not accurate. He improved on that during the year, but we still saw that he's still got a little ways to go. So that's the part that it's got to be proven by him, that he can be accurate on an every down basis when he's not under pressure, and he wasn't last year.
Yeah, because the thing about KJ, that it's like he has such an upside to him. Like you see potential in him, but it just
because he can run,
right?
Yeah,
and it just, but the problem is that for last year, it's almost like, and this is not just with KJ Jefferson, but this is with a lot of players on the roster, is I almost feel inclined to just completely and totally ignore what happened last year, like take it all out, just not even say that counts. Because of how bad the situation was, how poorly coached the team was, just how poorly developed the team was, everything about last year especially, and even the past 2 years, it's almost like you just want to throw out the window, at least I do. So with KJ Jefferson specifically, I don't know if you can just look at the four games he played last year, which there were some good moments, don't get me wrong, but I just don't know what all you can take from that and say, this is why he's going to be good or this is why he's not going to be good. It's more like, I want to see what he can do with actual development from coaches like Kendall Briles, where they're putting him in position to where he can feel comfortable, he can feel confident, they utilize his strengths, they develop what his weaknesses are, they work on all these things. I want to see what he can do then. And I don't even want to look at last year. I almost want to say, all right, your redshirt freshman year was like an old school redshirt freshman year where you just redshirted. It didn't count. I want to see what you can do with this new coaching staff. And I'm not saying that he won't start. I don't know who's going to start at quarterback. It could be KJ Jefferson. And if he ends up starting, I'm hoping it's because he just really showcased his ability and won the job outright.
He's the better one.
Yeah.
Yeah. John, you just laid it out real well, and I'm going to tell you that is exactly what Kendall Briles is saying. He doesn't care what that is. It's going to be about who learns his offense and then can go on the field in spring football and communicate that offense to his teammates and run it. So it won't be about last year. It's learning a new language. It's learning the new keys, and it's completely different than what they've run. Now, some of the plays will look similar, but it will be a new situation, and he's going to get, you know, it's the board is blank. The there are no grades for last year. It's all about what can you learn, how fast can you learn it, and then take it to the field. So that they won't use last year's tape other than to know, well, he has played in some games and there's some value there.
We were talking about this yesterday. You look and you're going to have, you know, likely Franks or Jefferson, one of those two, as your quarterback. Rakeem Boyd back at running back, you know, Burks and Woods and Knox all at wide receiver, Henry at tight end. I mean, the offensive line has been the issue, and so you got the pieces. I'm of the belief, or I'm taking blind faith, just a blind leap of faith that, hey, Sam Pittman is the guru of the offensive lines, and he's got Brad Davis as his O-line coach that he hand-selected. I've just got to believe, I'm taking a blind leap of faith, they're going to coach up what they've got, they're going to make what they've got better, and if they can make that offensive line to at least just a below-average SEC level, just get them to that, because they haven't been lately. You put those other pieces around them, Clay, and you're going to have an offense that can at least, you know, approach average maybe in this league. And that would be a giant improvement from where they've been.
Well, just make improvement. That's what I want to see.
I just think they got the skill players.
Improvement.
I think they got skill players. Yeah, they need a line to make it work.
Yeah, they're going to be, you know, I'm anxious to see what they look like in the offensive line in August, or, you know, the interviews that I've seen with Kendall Briles and with Sam, are they, you know, they're going to put on some weight. They're going to be bigger, and they're going to be bigger everywhere. They want to be bigger and more physical in their body types by the time they play games. And these guys, you know, there's a lot of young ones in this offensive line that, you know, that have got to put on some weight. Stromberg, you know, played last year, probably about 274. I don't think he ever got to 275. Clary played, you know, 285. Limmer, I mean, he probably was 300, but just barely. That's underweight in the SEC. Mm-hmm. If you looked at what Brad Davis had in Missouri last year, and I'm just their offensive line was much better the year before than last year. But those guys were 315 to 330, every one of them. And you looked at Alabama, they were 320 to 340, and there was at least one that was 360. That's a different equation when you walk up to the line of scrimmage, and it's like generally the offensive line is bigger than the defensive line. That wasn't the case with Arkansas. They were outweighed 20 and 30 pounds last year. And when you see the contact, you know, you think the offensive line's got the advantage because they know the snap count, and they're going to get a little push. There wasn't very many times where they got pushed last year. So that's what's got to change, and they've got to get bigger and stronger. And in some ways you can add to what, you know, those guys were. But in other ways, it might be some fresh faces that you don't. We don't even know what numbers they're going to be wearing yet.
Yeah, plus you get Noah Gatland back.
Yeah, and just, you know, at some point now he's right now he's just 5 months removed. I sneezed. Well, only 5 months removed from ACL surgery. So how much you can get out of him in spring practice is not sure. I mean, for an offensive lineman, it's a 12-month deal on an ACL every time that I've ever seen it. And so that's a wait and see in how effective he is. Can he have contact this spring? I'm not sure he can. So we'll see on that.
Well, even if you add into the mix of, and again, I'm not saying he'll come here, but he's definitely at least in the mix of five-star offensive lineman Broderick Jones, who, according to Rivals, is the number one offensive tackle in the country and the number five.
Huge.
Like,
yep.
Just something as simple as one guy, which I know, hey, listen, true freshmen, you never know exactly how well they're going to translate to the game. We've seen it happen in times before, and even when, if you remember correctly, when Sam Pittman was first at Arkansas in 2013, two of his better offensive linemen that 2013 season were both freshmen with Denver Kirkland and Dan Skipper. So we know it can happen. But even if they were able to add him, like if they found some way to get Broderick Jones to decommit and come to Arkansas, like that would just, having that one guy would make all the difference in the world in adding in some pieces there too. Because essentially that's what, as far as the offense goes, I think Kendall Briles has got plenty of the skilled guys to work with. But it's going to come down to that offensive line.
Mm-hmm. And if they always does. Yeah. You're right, John.
And if the
always does.
And if the offensive line can really elevate their game, and just an offseason, because we never know. Again, it goes back to what we talked about with KJ Jefferson. I feel the same way about the offensive line. The coaching and developing did not happen the way it should have, obviously. But now that you got the offensive line coach, essentially, in Sam Pittman, and a guy that he handpicked, I think you're going to have to take out what you saw from this team these past two seasons and say, let's see what a real offensive line coach with these guys in a spring practice and all that can do with the roster he currently has.
That's why I'm willing to jump out of the plane knowing Sam Pittman packed my parachute. I just have a blind faith that he's going to make that offensive line work. I mean, it's just faith in him.
Yeah.
You know, and they're going to have to recruit some players, and it's probably going to take 2 to 3 years to get it to where he really wants it. But I'm just of the belief this dude here can take what they already have and make them noticeably better to the untrained eye. And to the trained eye, the footwork and the technique, because when we had him on, hey, coach, what's the first thing you look at when evaluating an offensive lineman, whether it's a recruit or a current player? And without hesitation, well, he said what? Their feet?
Mm-hmm.
I need to know that they got good feet. And he went through 45 seconds of footwork. I mean, I'm just of the belief he's going to make these guys better because he just knows more. He knows more to teach more. And that's just blind faith on my part.
Hey, Tommy, when we get up there in that plane, you go first.
That's fine.
John, you go second. Maddie, you go third. And I'll pick you guys up on the ground.
What a guy. Thank you for that, Clay. Yeah. But
well, you want somebody to get the plane back.
That's right.
You do.
That's right. Yeah. We'll need you there for sure. But
I'm not jumping with y'all.
I hope you don't need a spatula when you find us.
Yeah. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think Sam Pittman can pack the parachute when it comes to offensive linemen. I think so too.
I would say you guys are good hands.
Yeah.
I ain't jumping.
Yeah, because when he first got hired, that was really the first thing that came to mind. Is like, well, we know the offensive line's going to be good.
Because I'm not saying they're going to be like Alabama or LSU good, because LSU had good line. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying we've seen what they've been the last couple of years. There's going to be noticeable improvement to go around these skilled players.
There would be improvement no matter what. I think they were better last year. They weren't great, and I think they're going to take another leap, not out of a plane, but I think they're going to take another step forward and to stay inside the plane. But there will be improvement next year. I think it's just the natural maturation of those guys. But I think what's going to, the big change is going to be the recruiting. You're going to see bigger, meaner, badder dudes come in here as recruiting goes. They say they want to bring in four. It's a big weekend. you know, Robert Scott, they're still trying to flip from Ole Miss, trying to get the Georgia transfer. There's a couple of more that are on the radar. And, you know, I think that there will be one of those guys that plays next year. Could be more than that if they're not happy with what they got. I know this. The guys that are on campus now, they better be getting bigger, because there's somebody bigger and badder coming. Whether it's this year or next year, that is a given. That wherever he's been, Sam Pittman has had big, bad, physical offensive linemen, and exactly what you said, Tommy, with feet, and they can play downhill. That's what's coming. Whether we see it all come together next year, I'm not sure. And back to Frank's, it could be that he's here for 2 years, because he'll probably get a hardship for last year. Yeah. He's had a red shirt, but the NCAA has been real forgiving on guys that miss pretty much a whole season late in their career, that they get a hardship in a sixth year. So there's potential there for 2 years for him. And I think in that second year, I bet you that's when you really see the growth in the offensive line.
I mean, if the NCAA would grant John Neighbors a seventh year, then surely he can get a sixth, right?
Yeah, I think they call that the mercy rule.
The Cody Walker Award here. But I don't think he can apply for that, as it is explained. He can't apply for that hardship until after this next season. So it's not you can't apply for it now. You don't know now. It's only at the end of next year before that can even be raised.
What sense does that make?
So when did you expect the NCAA to have common sense in their approach?
I know it's the NCAA, but it's just like, even though that year has passed, even though we know all what happened, you could totally provide information on what happened that season. No, we're going to wait until after your next season to then look back 2 years prior to see if we feel like you're eligible for another year. Like, that just makes sense to me.
John, let me explain the world to you. Not everything is fair. Not everything is the way it's supposed to be. I mean, you just look at the three of us. God gave me and Tommy more talent than you. We can't explain it. We don't know.
We just hadn't figured out what it's at yet.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, that's exact. Because here's the thing. You know, God was intending all three of us to be together, but what he was saying to you two, he's like, hey, give them money and make him struggle. You know, that's what it's about.
That's reality.
Yeah, it was just flip the bills. Let them be taken care of financially, and we'll have John over here.
Your middle name is Job, right?
It's not over.
Yeah, living with a busted accordion down there in downtown trying to play for money. So
yeah, we'll bring you a blanket.
John, when I was your age, I was working at the Conway Log Cabin Democrat, and I made $85 a week. So I don't. You can make it. Let's just trust me. You can make it.
Yeah, I'll find a way. But you know, one day, hopefully, I'll get to y'all's level.
He was working at Conway, living in a log cabin. He wasn't working at the log cabin. He was living in a log cabin.
So. Yeah, back during the war, wasn't that the time? I don't know which one of the world wars, one of the big ones.
Cutting his own firewood.
Yeah, way back when during that time. So, but hey, if I get to y'all's point one day, I'll be thankful to make it happen.
Yeah. You keep trying, young grasshopper.
Well, luckily, was it a rising tide lifts all ships? I guess y'all are that tide, and I'm just the little dinghy that's hanging out.
You're going to get there.
Yeah.
You have some of the ingredients. Let's just put it that way.
How inspiring. Thank you, Clay.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light Seltzer, gluten-free with no artificial flavors.
Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're number three, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
Since it is a recruiting Thursday, we got to talk recruiting with the man, Richard Davenport of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Good morning, Richard. How you doing, man?
Hey, guys. We can talk recruiting, but we can also talk Doquan. That's fun.
Oh, yeah. We can talk about all those types of fun things. But we'll start with recruiting, and then we may transition our way into Oakland. But I want to start with the big news that happened this week with you. Felipe Franks officially announces that he is going to be taking his talents to Fayetteville. He will be on the roster. In fact, currently in school right now taking classes. Richard, just give us an overall synopsis of what you think about this move. What Razorback fans can expect out of Felipe Franks?
Well, I mean, let's face it. He's been there, done that in the SEC. He had a very, very good sophomore year. He started this past season and then got hurt, and he was off to a good start this past season. So I think that's a huge get. I think Arkansas really does have the tools to be a pretty decent offensive team next year, with a little bit more experience on the offensive line, and you just figure the offensive line is going to be in better shape next year, Coach Pittman and Coach Davis, and then you add Felipe Franks, and I think they can be pretty salty.
All right, you've talked to a lot of the guys that were in town last weekend for official visits. What was their impression of the university, this coaching staff, and more importantly, I guess, or in some ways very important, that atmosphere at the Arkansas-Kentucky game? I know, obviously, Arkansas didn't win the game, but from all we've read, all these guys were just blown away by the spirit and the fans and everything that surrounded that game.
No, there's no doubt. Basketball and football kids were pretty impressed with that. And how can you not? Packed house, crowd was into the game. Anytime you're able to see something like that, and then you envision, three and a half times more, people in Reynolds Razorback Stadium and being that active, you kind of think, boy, I bet it could be pretty crazy, on a Saturday afternoon or Saturday night. That's always a positive, because it really displays the passion of the fans. And I think sometimes we take that for granted, because I keep hearing from people that are not familiar with the Razorback program how passionate the fans are, and how that really just stands out to them.
Speaking of Richard Davenport of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette right now on the Morning Rush. Richard, the offensive line is a big question for the offense, and there's been some guys that have been rumored to maybe be visiting or committing, and guys that they've really had their target on. What can you tell us about that, as well as the Broderick Jones situation? Is he still in play?
Well, I mean, he had a very pleasantly – he was pleasantly surprised, let me put it like that, and talking to him Sunday after his visit. We talk about it so many times, out-of-state kids, they don't realize what Arkansas is all about until they get there. And then, obviously, his relationship with Coach Sam Pittman has always been strong, and that's one of the key reasons why he visited. He plans to visit Georgia this weekend and Auburn afterwards, and then, I guess, make his final decision. I would just have to think that Georgia's going to be tough to beat, because he's a Georgia kid. He's been committed to him for so long. But at the same time, I've learned to never discount the ability of Coach Sam Pittman to swing something like this. So I think they're in play, and I'm sure that they'll just recruit him hard until the end and see what happens.
So, Richard, just looking at the few next weekends here for football, what's really going to be the focus? Who are they looking at? What's some areas are going to be really hitting hard? What's the situation look like for the coming weeks?
Well, I mean, obviously the tight end position is one that they really need to do some closing, as far as closing on two former commitments. Alan Horse visited Arkansas last weekend, the tight end from Crockett, Texas, and then Brandon Frazier, the former tight end commitments, visiting this weekend. Alan Horse is going to be visiting UT San Antonio, then Ole Miss, and then Brandon Frazier visited Auburn last weekend, and then he'll make a decision fairly soon after Arkansas visit, and then Malik Hornsby, four-star quarterback from Missouri City, Texas, he'll be in this weekend, and then also C.J. Dixon's telling me he's still coming. He's another four-star quarterback from Loganville. Georgia. So you got two high school quarterbacks, and then if you get one of these guys, and you obviously have Franks on board, that would really kind of get the quarterback situation, quarterback room, back where you really want as far as numbers, and that would be huge to be able to get one of these guys.
You put a very interesting article up on WholeHogSports.com earlier this week on Tuesday about recruiting territories, and listed them out by each coach and what geographic area they're responsible for. I won't go through all 10 of them because that'd take too long. But anything jump out at you? And what areas do you think, which coaches carry the biggest responsibilities? They all split a little bit of the in-state, but when you look at what's important to Arkansas, who has the biggest burden here to make sure that you can't miss because of the areas they cover?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think because of what the previous staff did in Texas, you got to figure that Texas is going to be a prime area. And let's see, we got two, three, four, five, six. You got seven coaches that are going to be have parts of Texas. So I think that's showing that they're definitely focusing on the state and that as well as they should. And then maybe one of the areas that some people like and don't like about recruiting, they're going to get back into the state of Florida. And, you know, obviously Coach Bielema and his staff was heavy in Florida, and this staff's going to do the same. And then again, Georgia, I love what they're doing in Georgia because Arkansas's had some pretty good success with kids coming out of Georgia, and I just tend to think of Jimmy Smith and some of the other coaches going back into Georgia and Coach Pittman's background there. I think they're going to be able to get some pretty good talent in the future.
Richard, I want to ask you about this cornerback that Arkansas had commit, Kari Johnson. He's from Connecticut. How does that all work out? Because it's always fascinating to me because I know that they've had some players from some random states. I think back in the day, I don't know what his name just escaped me. The kid that was from New Jersey that was there for Bobby Petrino in the 2012 class. I never thought I'd ever forget his name. Vin Ascalese. There we go. Vin Ascalese. Yeah, when he was from New Jersey, that was always very interesting to me. Getting a player from Minnesota like they did with Ragnow was interesting. But this one, being from Connecticut, how does that all happen? How do you even find out about a player in Connecticut? How did this all happen?
It happened back, I think, in April or May of last year. He kind of reached out, and I think one of the other coaches started talking to him. If you remember, I wrote about Sean Mercer, the volunteer coach. I think he kind of got it going. The communication, and then it just progressed over time, and he made that unofficial visit to Arkansas for the Mississippi State game, fell in love with it. And I think the Oates staff was eventually going to offer him, but obviously they didn't have the opportunity to do that. And then the new staff came in and evaluated him, really liked him. And the rest is history. So, you know, like you said, Georgia just recently offered, I think Alabama and Tennessee and several other schools are interested. So, but everything that I hear about him is he's pretty solid. I think initially he was kind of, I may visit or something like that, because I talked to him the other night and he said he's going to talk to his mom and dad about maybe visiting, but it wasn't like it was a for sure thing. And from what I understand now, he's pretty solid.
All right, let's switch gears a little bit, Richard, to go over to basketball side of things. I want the story behind this Jackson Robinson, the kid out of Oklahoma, who's a 4-star shooting guard. Everybody that I talked to, and I know that you brought him up as well, but it seemed like everybody felt like Arkansas was the leader. Like it was just, he was going to Arkansas, felt like that was absolutely happening. And then this past week, he commits to Texas A&M, kind of surprised some people. What can you tell us about that story?
I can't really tell you much because I had the same thoughts. I thought Arkansas was in very, very good shape with him. He visited for the Kentucky game. That was his fourth visit since August. And I was thinking, okay, he's close, because he had a previous relationship with Coach Crutchfield. And he just sometimes, and I'll say this, whenever I would talk to him, he was always very close to the vest as far as other schools. He didn't really ever say much about other schools. And he was guarded for some reason, and maybe that was it. I don't know, but obviously it was a surprise. As far as why I really didn't ask him. I guess I will eventually, but I was probably stunned like everybody else.
Yeah, it certainly seemed like that was the case. So what does the 2021 class start to look like with Arkansas? Because that was a target that they felt like they missed out on. I guess there's always time to maybe flip some people like that. But what's the 2021 class look like? Who they got they really focusing on? Could it end up being another class just like in the 2020 class that is one of the top ones in the country?
Yeah, definitely. I think they're definitely on the caliber of guys that it could rival the 2020 class. I mean, the one kid I think everybody thinks about is Harrison Ingram from St. Mark's in Dallas. He's a five-star, ESPN five-star prospect who has visited Arkansas and plans to make an official visit to Arkansas. He was supposed to come for the Kentucky game, but because of some of the weather issues in Dallas-Fort Worth the week before, that I think they had some tornado warnings and stuff like that. One of his games was canceled, and it was made up on the same day as the Kentucky game. So I think Arkansas is in good shape with him. Not saying he's coming for sure, but I think they're definitely in the running. Trey Alexander, a shooting guard, a teammate of Jackson Robinson from Oklahoma, a teammate far as same AAU basketball team. He's still being recruited by Arkansas, and he's a four star. So that's just a couple of guys. But I think with this staff and how they recruit, I think I'd be surprised if they don't have good recruiting classes every year.
All right, Rich, before I let you get out of here, I know you're a big Oaklawn guy. What's the best thing about Oaklawn? What do you enjoy the most?
I just love the sport. I just love the sport. No, the people watching, just everything about Oaklawn. It's just a great atmosphere, and you just see some people go crazy. And I'll never forget. I think this one time, this lady was going absolutely bonkers, and I asked her, "What did you bet?" She said she bet a $2 win on this horse, and it was just, you know, just fun seeing people love to get in, get excited and love the sport. I love seeing people get into horse racing because I've loved it all my life, basically.
Yeah, it's always enjoyable. Well, Richard, we appreciate you as always, man, coming on, and I'm sure we'll be seeing you down in Oaklawn on occasion. Hopefully we can find you, be even winning big.
Absolutely. Sounds good.
All right, man, appreciate it. Richard Davenport of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette talking a little recruiting on this Recruiting Thursday.
Yeah, that brought to you by Matt Fowler and the folks at Academy Mortgage. If you're looking to refinance or you need financing for a new home, maybe 100% financing, a rural development loan, VA, they do all kinds of financing when it comes to your mortgage needs at Academy Mortgage with locations in Harrison, Mountain Home, and in Clinton. If you're a first-time home buyer, special programs right now with $2,000 tax credits and down payment assistance. They have low down payment options, FHA, conventional loans. They can take care of everything and get you a quick closing as well. And with all the new technology, they got mobile apps that you can simply apply with the click of a button, and it makes it so easy where you don't have to go back and forth and back and forth to sign this document, that document. You can do a lot of things remotely like that, and that's one of the reasons they're your first choice lender of really every real estate agent in the area, home buyer, and builder as well, because they deliver first choice customer service. Call Matt Fowler today, 870-580-5210. That's 870-580-5210 for Academy Mortgage.
Am I bitter that any time there's a player like in the situation of Jackson Robinson, where it looked like it was all signs were pointing to Arkansas, but then out of nowhere he goes to a different school, that there's immediately some foul play involved? Is that bad of me? Same thing what happened with Reggie Perry.
Yeah.
You know, we were just talking about him with Mississippi State. He's called Arkansas his Duke school, his dream school. That's what he felt about Arkansas. But then he goes to Mississippi State a week after the Adidas camp that he went to. Is that sour grapes on my part?
No, I think that's how most of us feel. Is like, hey, we just got outbid on this deal.
Yeah. Texas A&M just dropped the bag. Because Tommy, what shoe company is Texas A&M with?
They're Adidas too, aren't they?
That's right.
Who else was having, wasn't it? Oh, I don't know, Kansas?
Yeah, Kansas. Hmm. Big Adidas school there up in Kansas. Hmm. So
wasn't the FBI looking at? Yeah.
Yeah. What is Mississippi State, Tommy?
Well, I believe they're Adidas, John.
Amazing how that all works out. What a coincidence. How about that?
Not a coincidence. Not a coincidence.
Again,
not a coincidence.
I have no proof whatsoever that there was any foul play.
Oh, it's just a theory.
But if you know, if you start putting some things together and you start thinking about it, and you also start thinking about why in the world would you go to Texas A&M over Arkansas, especially the situation they're in, especially if you're a fan of Arkansas, because Arkansas is the mecca of college basketball, in your opinion, you know, you start feeling that there might be some foul play going on there. That's how I feel about with Jackson Robinson. He's the number 25 player in the country, according to 247 Sports, so he would have been a huge get. But I'm sure Eric Musselman's got some other plans in place. But just always find it weird and fascinating about those stories, because it doesn't just happen to Arkansas. It happens to a lot of different teams where they feel like they got a player in the bag, and then something happens. I think the biggest...
And the bag shows up.
Yeah, then the bag shows up. It's about the same way about Dorial Green-Beckham when he went to Missouri. Again, no proof of it, but it's more fun to have that conversation and just assume that it was some foul play, because you weren't going to cheat to get those players, but the other teams were willing to.
Then one of the things holding Arkansas back is their unwillingness to break the rules. So,
what are you trying to say, Tommy? That Arkansas should have a bag, man?
I'm just saying you're not on the same playing field as some of these other schools.
You know what's funny, Tommy, is a little less than 2 years ago, we had a conversation on this show dealing with that exact topic about if Arkansas needs to start, you know,
yeah, and I believe
some shortcuts.
I believe the AD texted us during the show.
The
sitting AD at that time.
Yeah.
Who's now got a, he's in a fight up there.
He's got some issues.
He has problems in Kansas right now.
Yeah.
He was in a fight? There was a fight.
I know. Yeah. I'm just trying to pun those two together there. But yeah, he texted us during the show. He kind of wagged his finger at us and scolded us a little bit.
Yeah, because I still have the text saved. If he says, John, I am very disappointed in you for advocating cheating in college sports and amateur sports.
And he goes to Kansas.
Yeah, and yeah. I was like, Jeff, go kick rocks. Like, if you're really going to be like this high.
Did you say that? Did you text him that back?
You bet I did. You bet I did. And I said, Jeff, and let me tell you something else there, buddy. I felt like Costanza, you know, when he had just got the Yankees job and he's talking up there like saying that he knows it all. That's how I felt about it. I was like, well, let me tell you something else. You were wrong for firing Bobby Petrino. You were wrong for bringing Pepsi to this place. You were wrong for hiring Brett Bielema. You were wrong for so many things. I said that really in my mind, but I should have said,
He made a great move, though. I mean, he made a move that I think we all applauded. He left.
Did he leave, or was it more of fired?
I mean, he's gone. Let's just put it that way.
He's no longer here. He's somebody else's problem.
He was fired.
Yeah.
He was fired.
He was straight
up. No, I'm just – it was just a little play on words. You know, he just moved a little further north where he belongs.
Mm-hmm. Exactly right.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Bud Light Seltzer, 5% ABV and only 100 calories. We'd put it up against any other seltzer out there.